Alrighty, welcome back to the Meta Minds podcast. We're all about relentless self-development and consciousness optimization. On today's episode, we have Kirsten Morrison with us. And Kirsten is a confidence coach helping women to break up with self-doubt.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
That's okay. Would you be able to tell us a little bit more about maybe your story and what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, how many hours do we have? well, I'm sure we'll go into like the full story of how I got started. But basically, like you said, I help women break up with self-doubt so that they can tap in and unlock unshakable confidence and make anything possible. Because for me, for such a long period of my life, I had no self-belief. I couldn't acknowledge any of my strengths and gifts. And it caused a lot of suffering, and it caused a lot of, comparison and self-judgment. And I was just stuck in this cycle of fear for such a long time where I was hesitating to try anything because I was convinced I would fail. And I was so desperate to uncover my purpose. I just had, even though I had no self-belief, I really did have this deep self-knowing that I was here for something, but trying to figure that out without having any self-belief was, you know, like torment for almost a decade. So the turning point for me was really a trip to America where I spent 3 months there. And in that trip, I really had two extremely polarizing experiences. On one hand, I had some friends that were living in the States, and they're all in the music industry. So I was seeing them, you know, they're all Australian, but they've moved there. So seeing the self-belief that they had in themselves and the confidence to make their dreams possible and to put themselves in these room and really just back themselves and say that I am, without a shadow of a doubt, the person that you need. And seeing them in that energy every day. And like I said before we kicked off, you know, the American culture is just one of self-belief. It's like every single one of them was born to be on TV or something. Like they just, from the barista to the fitness instructor to, you know, the actors, like anyone that you would meet would just really truly own themselves and be willing to put that out there. So spending 3 months in that energy, I was like, I really don't have that. Whatever it is they have, I don't have that. And even though I didn't really know what I wanted to do, I knew that if I found my purpose, you know, that had been causing me such pain in my life, I wouldn't have the belief to execute it. So I was having that half the experience. And then I had another friend who was working with the homeless in LA, because LA is like one of the homeless capitals of America. It's, you can't really walk down the street without, you know, running into, you know, so many people that you could impact. So, you know, he took me to Skid Row a couple of times, and that was really eye-opening. But just having the ability to connect with these people every day and having these conversations with people that had ended up on the street, and just hearing their story of how one decision led them there, you know, it was just really eye-opening and really expanded me in a way that I really didn't know was possible, and changed my whole perception and everything. And I was like, wow, like there's a lot of work that needs to be done in this world, and I want to be a part of creating that impact. But I didn't know how that would look. So I knew that I wanted to make an impact. I knew that I didn't have the confidence to do it. But so I just thought, okay, well, I'm going to go home after this, you know, dream trip is over, because this is a trip I'd wanted to do since I was seven, and I'd watched 90210. I was obsessed with LA. So, you know, I went home after my dream trip, and I was like, I'm committed to being the best version of myself, so that when my purpose or my mission reveals itself, I am the container to hold that. And so I went to my first personal development workshop when I came back to Brisbane, called The Bridge Experience, with Preston Smiles and Alexi Panos. And I had been following them online for a while, and I was so inspired by them. And I thought, oh, this will be a great, you know, weekend. It'll just be like really motivational, and I'll just sit at the back and take some notes and feel really uplifted. And it was not that at all.
It's not what you think it is.
No, it was a full blown experiential, like, spiritual open heart surgery. Like, I can't even describe it, but something in that weekend, like a few of the activities that shifted energy from the body, really cracked the belief that I'd had about myself that had been holding me back my whole life, which was I'm not good enough. And for the first time, that was really like a window that had opened for me, where I was like, I think I can do this. Like, it was like this shift that I was like, I was just buzzing with possibility, and I was like, I'm ready to keep going down this path. And because I'd had such a transformation in 2 days, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, I had no idea that so much could change in your life in 2 days. And I was like, if this is what's possible for me, I want to go out into the world and give that to as many people as possible. So not only did I find myself in that weekend, but I also found my purpose finally. But I also found the tools that was going to help me build the belief to actually make it a reality too. So yeah, that's my mission, is to help as many women as possible to unlock that self-belief, because as a result, the ripple effect of that belief in my life has changed everything for me. So my life's done a complete 180, and yeah, I just want to help as many people break up with that story that they have that's holding them back, so that they can make their wildest dreams come true, because the world needs whatever the gift is that we all have. And yeah, I just want to help people achieve that, because when everyone achieves their mission or finds their happiness, it's going to like lift the consciousness and the energy of the whole planet. So it's a ripple effect to support these women. So yeah,
so much to unpack there.
I know. Yeah. Like, longer story short.
Oh, I'm glad of that. It's good.
Yeah, that's great though.
I mean, I do just want to like readdress, because I've been having those thoughts for a while, but you kind of clarified it there for me. Like, just that America versus Australia kind of thing. Like, they just have that confidence. And Dan and I have had this discussion where, like, you see vloggers on YouTube walking down the street in America, right? And they're just doing this thing, and just people walk past, and it's like, they, that's completely
care.
Normal. No one, you know?
No one cares.
But whenever we're filming out in public or whatever, I'm like, what are you doing?
You get this. What's this?
Like, weird. It's like, so it is crazy how different it can be. And obviously that's like kind of conditioned into their culture, where they're like, we are Americans, this is how it is. And that's just how they're brought up to believe, you know?
They're brought up to want to be the best. Like, it's celebrated to be the best. Success is celebrated. Difference is celebrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Australia, like, you know, we were talking before we jumped on, we have this thing called tall poppy syndrome, where we're like so deep in the trenches of mateship that we want to, you know, all be at the same level. And, you know, when somebody dares to rise above that, you know, everyone's like, well, who's that guy? What does he think that he's got that I don't? Like, how dare you, like, you know, be so up yourself, you know? So we have this complete different perception of what success is. And, you know, anytime someone rises, we want to, you know, drag them back down, which is why I think such a long time, all of our talent was getting out of here, you know? And I think that is slowly shifting, and you are seeing more people sort of hang around and change that narrative. But yeah, it's definitely, I think, ingrained in us as a culture to not really celebrate ourselves and not put ourselves out there in that same way.
Yeah, yeah. With these people that you met in America when you went over there, besides the fact that you noticed they were very independent and they had confidence within themselves, was there anything else that you noticed about them that helped you develop as a person? In their traits, or in the way that they held themselves together, or
It was the self belief, but it was within the self belief, it was the mindset that they had and the self talk that they had. Like, they were never doubting themselves. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that that's what they were there to do, and they would articulate themselves not only to themselves but to others that is what their mission was, and that they were the right person for that.
Yeah.
There was never any moments that I heard them say, I don't know if I can do this. It was just like, this has to happen. Like, and it was a, you know, I've heard Tony Robbins talk about this before. You know, you can have talent, you can have smarts, but it's the hunger that is what drives you forward. And I think, you know, I could see that these people were hungry to make their dreams happen. And that was driving that belief and driving their decisions within themselves. And, you know, I think that sometimes, you know, there can be that complacency with the hunger. Like, you know, you can have all the skills and the talent and everything all handed to you, but, you know, you have to be hungry to make it happen. So I think that was definitely the standout quality that, for me, I noticed. It was just like, there was no plan B, you know. They were not planning for anything else. And, you know, I've seen, like, Travis Barker, like, you know, he's tattooed himself up to here so that he had no plan B. He was going to be a drummer. He was going to be unhirable. And, you know, I think that's something that we kind of have to do for ourselves, is burn the boats, you know.
Yeah, it's something we talk about a lot on the podcast, is perception is reality. And it's like so good, because a lot of our guests kind of come on and reconfirm that in a different way. And this is the exact same thing, you know. But it's like, it doesn't matter how much you say that. It's like, until you actually hear these stories and realize just how powerful perception is, you can start to actually put it into place, kind of thing, and start to have that confidence, because that confidence is literally what's going to get you to that next thing. You know what I mean? So it's crazy how powerful it is. But, and even myself, like, it's underrated. Like, I definitely don't take advantage of it as much as we potentially can. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. And I think that's where awareness of your beliefs and stories that you have that have been shaped, you know, come from. You know, like awareness is the first thing that precedes choice. So being super aware of, you know, your thoughts and where your beliefs come from, and are they yours? You know, are they serving you? Are they what you want to believe? Is your map of the world the one that you want to continue living? So, realizing that your reality has been shaped by perception, whether it's yours or someone else's or society's or the, you know, content you're consuming, and just becoming aware of, you know, how that makes you feel and whether you want to make any shifts around that.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of alluded to a little bit of it then, and I'm sure you don't want to give away too many of your secrets when it comes to working with women, but do you have anything that maybe you could share with the people out there as to what you kind of do with these women to help them build their confidence?
Yeah, totally. So the first thing that I really do and I really believe in that was so prevalent for my own journey as well is that, you know, we can, you know, have these ideas of what we want. And we can start to go out and make them happen. But until we actually release the shit that no longer serves us, it's really hard to move forward. And, you know, it's like climbing up a mountain with a bag on your back that has a bowling ball in it. Like, and we're like, oh my God, it's just so hard. Like everything's so hard to get to. I don't understand why it's taking me so long to get up this mountain. But all we have to be willing to do is take the backpack off, you know, and free ourselves of what we've been carrying around with us. So I think for me, definitely the first step is becoming aware and getting underneath why the belief or confidence isn't there, where that story came from. And a lot of times it comes from something that happened to us as a child. You know, for me, the first memory I can remember of not feeling good enough was something so simple. And, you know, I've cleared this with my mom, like, but, you know, it was, I'd done this assignment and I'd put so much effort into it. And it was a assignment on rabbits. I think I was in year four and I'd like done something so exciting. I took it to her and I was like, oh, mom, like, check out my assignment. And she was like, you know, that's not good enough. You can do better than that, you know, because she was using the skills and talents that she had to help me and what she thought was going to motivate me based on what she had experienced with her mother. But in that moment, I was like, oh, like that wasn't good enough. I tried my hardest and that wasn't good enough. And, you know, then you take that on as a core belief and then your brain is wired to prove your core beliefs right. And whether it's hurting you or supporting you, your brain looks for evidence of why that is correct. So once you kind of find that core like experience that shaped that belief, there's so many sequential experiences that can unfold from there where you can go, oh, and then I thought I wasn't good enough. And then I thought I wasn't good enough. And then I thought I wasn't good enough. And it just can ripple out through your whole life. So it's really about getting underneath like where that story came from and recognizing and having the forgiveness in that moment that, you know, that was such an offhanded comment from my mum that she would never have meant.
And her intentions were good.
Her intentions were good.
She was actually trying to like do
exactly.
Better.
Exactly. You know, if she had known the impact that would create, she never would have said that. But how many times do we say things in the moment that we have no real, it's just like an offhanded comment. So a lot of these experiences that when we uncover them, we realize that it's not the truth, you know, it wasn't ever our truth. But it's just something that as a child, we couldn't recognize that that wasn't who we were or that that person was not meaning it in that way. We didn't really have that awareness. So we took it on as our truth. So it's about finding that original experience. And I do a lot of processes around clearing that and sort of working with the subconscious mind to rewrite that narrative. And then finding a new story, you know, and figuring out who you want to be now, figuring out what the truth is that you want to believe. And what I help my clients to do is build a portfolio of proof of what's possible instead. You know, because you've got a lifetime of what you deem to be evidence that you're not enough. It's like, okay, well, let's start taking action on who you want to be so that you can start building the evidence against that belief. And, you know, I use the sort of image that, you know, because we develop superhighways in our brain, like this is just our default and it's just the freeway that we've been going down our whole lives. So basically to create this new story, we kind of have to have the courage to just drive off into the field like that we've never been in before. And even though there's no road, we just have to, you know, kind of have that faith that we're taking a leap of courage that we'll still get there through this other side and it's going to be amazing. And the more that we drive through the field, we're going to start building that road, building that road, building that road. And then all of a sudden that this is our go-to and this is our freeway. So, yeah.
It's fantastic just, analogy. Powerful. Yeah. We need better analogies. Like, have visual analogies.
Well, it's amazing because what you're actually saying sounds very similar to narrative therapy, if you've heard of that, which is a counselling method.
Yeah.
And basically, the way you just explained that then, there's a technique called reauthoring your story.
Mm.
And it sounds just like that. You're trying to put away these thoughts, because one thing Eamon and I say quite a lot is, you are not your thoughts, and your thoughts are not you.
No.
They just happen to.
And you create meaning out of them. That's what your brain does. It creates all these thoughts. So the reauthoring is basically pushing aside things that don't align with your values or things that have been created by other people, and you create your own values and drive down that other highway.
Totally.
Which is super powerful.
Yeah. And that's another thing I go through with my clients, is uncovering their top 10 core values so that they can start to move towards and create a life by design around their values, because that's something that we don't necessarily know either. And another technique that I use is a four-step questioning process that helps uncover that awareness and start redirecting and driving through the field. This is like the which lane do I take questioning theory. So the first question is it true? You know, is this thought that I'm having true? And inevitably your brain's going to, especially at the start, be like, of course it's true.
Because I've lived this life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, years,
basically. This is my narrative.
Yeah, exactly. So is it true? And then, you know, when if it says yes, is this useful? Is this effective? And quite often the answer will be no.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, so what would be possible if I chose not to believe this thought? You know, what action would I take without that belief? And once you uncover that, it's like, so what could I choose to believe instead that would empower me forward towards that outcome?
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so touching on kind of what you were talking about before, I forgot the name of the actual guy, but he's all about, doing this, like, uncovering previous child trauma and stuff like that, which is, like, what you're talking about is, like, a form of trauma kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, what he says is that trauma doesn't necessarily have to be traumatic. You know, you don't have to be, like,
totally
hit on the head when you're a kid by a bad guy or something like that. Mm-hmm. It can be just that you know, a friend said one thing to you offhandedly when they meant another thing. And the same thing happens now. Like, even, you know, when we're, like, adults, basically, someone says something to you because they woke up and they had a fight with their partner or whatever, and they got to that point of it, and they said something, even though they were trying to say it in a positive way, and you're like, wow, that guy's a dick, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it's like, no, they actually were doing their best to make a positive experience. Anyway, and so a lot of experiences that we have on a day-to-day basis as adults are actually, shaped by these small traumatic things.
Yeah.
And I've gone back and found a few different ones that have happened to myself as well. And again, it hasn't been this crazy trauma that you hear about. It's just like just small little things where you're like, oh, that's actually what happened, and that's why I believe this, and that's not real. You know what I mean? But it's like there's often, like, you know, a bunch of different little ones. And even to this day, you kind of like remember other little ones and be like, ah, that's probably why I am the way I am now. And
yeah,
I suppose a huge part of like why we need to talk about this, I think, is because a lot of people don't even realize that fact kind of thing, is that it's like, why am I so weird and different and messed up? It's like, no, you're completely normal. Everyone's completely normal. Shit.
Yeah.
It should just happen. You know what I mean? Like, this is how you're shaped as like as a child.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why going back to that original experience, the first one that you can remember, and a lot of them are between the ages of 0 and 5, when you work with the subconscious mind to change the way that it views that experience, it actually kind of has like a domino effect on the other experiences, and can help lift and sort of clear the ones that followed. So, but I'm really glad that you touched on that definition of trauma as well, because the other modality that I use is breath work. And it was something that was super powerful that, the first time I'd experienced breath work, I felt like I'd had a rebirth, basically, was the best way that I can describe it. It was so amazing. And it just felt like it cleared like a lifetime of space in my body. It was amazing. But that is actually going in and using a cyclic breath to oxygenate the entire body and help the nervous system complete experiences where it was overwhelmed, it's basically to heal certain elements of trauma. But a lot of people hear that and they're like, oh, I haven't really had a trauma, so I probably don't need that. But there's so many different layers to trauma, and it's not just the big obvious ones. All of us have had a trauma. It could be a breakup, and that's like a moment where it's overwhelmed, stored in the body. It could literally be, there's something called developmental trauma. It's like things like when we're younger and we reach out and there's nobody there, and that stays in our body. You know, there's so many like little moments where our nervous system becomes overwhelmed and to cope, and then that stays with you in your body. Our body's a living library of experiences. Mm. So, you know, we can do all of the clearing work, but I believe in sort of a holistic approach where we clear the energy and the experience from the body as well as, you know, work with the mind as well and the mindset, which is important. Yeah, because there's a lot that can be there under the surface. Mm. And it's kind of like cleaning.
It's weighing us
down. Yeah, it's kind of like cleaning the outside of your fridge, but, you know, knowing that there's a whole bunch of rotten food on the outside, you know, it's like a Band-Aid. So, you know, going in and like clearing it out and actually having the energetic space so that you can call in more of what you do want and taking care of and allowing the body to complete those experiences that, you know, might not have had completion because, you know, when we're children, we fall over, we scream, we cry, we move on, or, you know, Tommy steals our swing and it's like, oh my God, it's the worst thing
damn
ever.
Damn it, Tommy.
Sort it out. Get your shit together, Tommy. But then, you know, 5 minutes later, the kids are playing with him, you know? Yeah. So, but as adults, you know, experiences happen to us and we stuff them down and, or ignore them or bypass them or, you know, convince ourselves that we're fine. Mm. But it's, you know, like pushing a beach ball underwater and it's going to fly up somewhere else. Like it's, so, you know, you can either take care of these experiences and be willing to face off with and acknowledge these stories and experiences and heal them and clear them so that you can go forward and have the life that you want. Otherwise it's just going to manifest in other areas of your life. You know, there's no escaping the healing. It's going to come up somewhere else. So you may as well just face it head on.
That's it. So is the meditation like Wim Hof, that kind of?
No. So it's not even a meditation. It's literally, so it actually like releases DMT in the brain as well. So it actually like fully like, so it's like, you know, I guess some people would experience plant medicine to have an outer body experience. Breathwork is an inner body experience. So some people do have visions that have come to them.
Mm.
It's more, I think, just a lot of people will just have emotion. You know, for me, like when I've done breath work, you know, when I did a week long training, there was times when I would have emotion. There was no, like I had no meaning or story that was attached. Then there was just emotion or, you know, the desire to like yell a big fuck you that was just there. And I don't know why, because it was something that was within me that had, you know, not been able to be completed in that moment. Mm. So it's not necessarily, a meditation or like can not necessarily be relaxing. But yeah, it's definitely really, really powerful to clear out a lot of old shit. That's
I could imagine it would be
very deep. And yeah,
especially
like
for people who haven't done it before or experienced that at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Life changing.
Totally. And you know, I did a workshop a couple of weekends ago where we did breath work and the people that had come to the workshop to experience it, like the feedback afterwards was literally like, you know, I've done personal development for, you know, one lady was in her 60s and she's like, I've tried everything and I didn't get the shifts that I got today. And, you know, someone had said that they basically thought they'd cleared this experience, but it was like going into the basement and like clearing it all out again. And she said she felt like she'd had 10 chiropractic sessions in one go. And, you know, so it's really, really powerful because you do like have just like a lightness, like physically and mentally and emotionally, you just feel so much lighter and clearer because you've allowed that like energy and experience and emotion to go, and it doesn't need to mean anything. It's not, and that's kind of why I like it too, because with coaching it's like looking for meaning and looking for the belief and the under what's, you know, and then breathwork is just like you are your own healer. Like, you know, it's all about that person on the mat. Like they're doing the breathing, they're clearing the emotion, and you're just there to like hold space and pressure points and things like that. But it's just about allowing them to complete and clear things that they haven't been maybe even known were there, you know. Our breathwork facilitator told a story about someone she had been working with, and their hand had been going like this in a session, like unwinding for the first three sessions, and it was because she was in a car accident when she was younger and she was in the back and she'd done a motion like that to indicate to turn the wheel. And so in the first three sessions, it was like her arm was almost like unwinding from that experience. So that was like obviously something that had been stored in her shoulder. And, you know, we did a session on the jaw, and I literally afterwards felt like I'd tasted food for the first time. Like it had completely reinvigorated my taste buds. Like there's just, it's just an amazing, amazing modality. So that's something that I'm really passionate about.
Is it accompanied by any sort of questioning, or is it an activity that then you let them go home and...
Yeah, so it's basically like it starts pretty much with like dynamic meditation. So it's not necessarily just clearing your mind, meditation. It's, you know, a more active meditation to allow them to drop into that particular band. And then obviously the breath work, and they experience that. And then afterwards there's sort of more sort of grounding and self-care they can obviously express, but it's not, because it's not really about applying meaning. It's just sort of allowing that space. If they want to dig into it, obviously we're there to support and to dive a little bit deeper if they want. Otherwise, yeah, they can, we give them self-care tips afterwards, baths, meditations, that sort of thing to sort of integrate, and obviously keep an open line for support.
It's good that there's the two different modes, I think, because it's like, it's all good to be like heady and like thinking about everything, because you have to do that to unpack a lot of these things. But unless you're doing the opposite side of it, where you like put that to the side and just focus on like experiencing it or whatever, and actually unpacking it in the experience, then I feel like they're definitely both useful. They complement each other, you know.
So I find it really interesting doing breathwork with coaches, because they're like, I just don't really know what that meant when I was crying, you know. It's like, you're not meant to, that's the point. It doesn't need to have a meaning. So, it's really awesome, because like we suppress ourselves from feeling so much. So it's like an opportunity where you can't really escape feeling the emotions that are there, and not assigning meaning to them is awesome, because it's like, doesn't need to mean anything. It's just emotion. Right. It's just passing through. It's just energy and motion.
Yeah.
So you just get to allow it.
It sounds like a physiological response to like a lot of trauma and things that are held in within the body.
Yeah.
So is it something that you need to like constantly keep on top of with the breathing exercises? Is it something that you recommend doing outside of your workshop?
I mean, people can, for sure. And I've done, you know, even before I did my training, I did it at home as well.
Yeah.
But it's probably, I think, better to do it with a facilitator, for sure. Particularly when you are starting out.
Yeah. Sounds very powerful.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously to have that integration and support as well. But the cyclic breath goes for about 40 minutes, and then you kind of have 20 minutes integration at the end. So it's a full hour experience. Mm. Yeah.
So don't do it while driving?
No, you cannot do it while driving. It's an eyes closed on the ground. Okay. Yeah, it's not a meditation.
So we've got a couple of minutes left. Kind of diving into like a rapid fire. What's the actionable content we're always after? So for the audience, and potentially women in particular that are looking to find their confidence, what are some kind of rapid fire tips that you have to kind of get them started on that journey, perhaps?
Yeah. So definitely taking the doubt that you have within yourself. So if it's, I'm not good enough, or, you know, I can't do this, whatever the story is, flipping that completely on its head and finding an affirmation that you can create that's truer for yourself to get you to where you want to go, and make that your mantra and repeat that every day, like morning and night. And then the second one really is just taking action. Like whatever it is, take action. Like action equals confidence. Like it's pretty much as simple as that. And through that action, you build that portfolio of proof that's what's possible. So setting yourself small, measurable, accountable, and realistic goals to give yourself the little wins along the way towards the big goal. Like not taking the big goal and getting so overwhelmed that you don't get started. Actually breaking it down into little measurable wins for yourself, and just focusing on being 1% better than you were yesterday. So I think, you know, even if it was, you know, if you wanted to get into fitness and, you know, you'd never really gone to the gym before, you wouldn't necessarily start with like a 6-day workout plan at the gym. You know, you might go for 2 walks a week. That's achievable. Then the next week, 3 walks, 4 walks, run, you know, build upon that, and give yourself those small little wins so that you can build that trust with yourself. I think that's so important, is self-trust when it comes to confidence. Like when you say you're going to do something, do it. Hold your word to yourself, because if we don't have our word to ourselves, we've got nothing. So you have to rebuild that trust within yourself, that when you take the action, you'll do it, and you'll have those wins.
Awesome. So where to from here? Like what's your career looking like? What's the ideal?
Oh my God, I don't know. such a big question. I didn't bring my 10-year plan with me. Well, basically doing both of those things like we've spoken about. So, you know, doing more breathwork workshops at the moment just within Brisbane, but I have had a few inquiries to come to Sydney and a few other places. So obviously I'd love to expand outside of Brisbane and take that wider. But for now, yeah, probably doing more workshops within Brisbane, doing my one-on-one coaching. I have a new group program coming out, which will be announced soon as well, which will be really exciting. So it's kind of taking some of the elements that you can only really get in person and kind of trying to bring that to an online space, because it can get a little bit clinical being online. So I really want to create a community experience where they do get experiences within the online space as well.
Actual connection.
Mm. Totally. Because, you know, some people, you know, they are like isolated, and if they are on their journey, it can feel quite lonely. So I want them to have the experiences that maybe aren't in their town or city or whatever it is, or that they don't have access to yet within this program. And then the bigger goal is to hold a retreat as well. So that's coming hopefully end of the year, or if not, start of next year.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on. Where can people find you?
So Instagram, mostly active on there. So at Kirsten Morrison _, because someone already stole Kirsten Morrison. Oh, watching this, I would like you to give it up.
please.
We can trade. Otherwise, Facebook as well. And they're sort of like my two main platforms. Otherwise, you can check out my website, kirstenmorrison.co, because someone else has already stolen kirstenmorrison.com. This is what happens when you don't find your purpose till later. that's kind of the main way. So all the information is on my website, and how you can work with me and book in a call, because I offer a 45-minute complimentary coaching call as well for people, so they can jump on and experience that.
Awesome. Great. Thank you very much again.
Thanks for having me, guys. That was really fun.
Cheers.
Thanks.